This is a time of celebration because God told Israel to go build me a house to worship. This house is Solomon's temple, they call it, but when Solomon hears the voice of God and he obeys God, he goes to build the Lord a temple, and it's an amazing temple. And the day that they were going to celebrate and offer this dedication to God, the Bible says that the priest brought in the Ark of the Covenant, which had such amazing significance. And then they began to give God praise. And then Solomon began to pray, and his prayer was amazing because he prayed, Lord, we built this place for you. And can I let you know, folks, that we need to build a place for God as well? And I'm not talking about a building, and I'll break that down. Hallelujah. Old Testament, he dwelled in buildings and temples. But New Testament, we are the temple. So the Bible says that after they built the temple, placed the Ark of the Covenant in it, Solomon prays. And here's his prayer. It goes something like this. Now, Lord, arise from your rest and be blessed by our praise as your glory fills this place. And then the Bible says that when he finished praying, now let me we can go here. When Solomon had finished praying, something about prayer, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Can you see this picture? Can you see this picture? You praying and heaven opening and saying, wow, I've heard your prayer. And then he comes down with fire and whoop. He eats the meal you prepared. And then his glory just fills the house. I want to talk to you about when heaven invades earth. Say it with me. When heaven invades earth. Earth. Father, thank you so much for this day, for this is the day that you've made, and we rejoice and we're glad in it. Thank you, God, that someone came with the desire and a hunger to receive something from you today. So God, I pray that your will is done in us. Get the glory today. May strongholds be broken. May lives be changed. May someone receive their joy again. May healing take place. And Father, we give you praise. And because you're a good God, we give you a good praise right now. So give him a good praise. He's a good God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. As I look at this passage, and I'm thankful for what God has done and what he is doing in our church body and what he is doing in our lives. You know, we've seen healings and deliverance and salvation of late, and it's a good thing. We've had some divine encounters with God and connections, and it's an amazing thing because we don't want to just be a church that goes through the motions. We really want to sense the presence of God. Are you with me today? And we recognize that prayer is a kingdom priority. Say that with me. Prayer is a what? It's a kingdom priority. That means if you want something to take place in your life, prayer is your connection to heaven. That's why when the disciples asked Jesus, they said, Jesus, you know, teach us to pray. He told them you have to connect with heaven. So say, Abba or Daddy, God, which are in heaven. That's where he is. So praying is connecting with heaven, the God of heaven. And then he says, thy will be done how? On earth as it is in heaven. So it's important to have that connection. And we recognize, too, that, you know, When I think about this, when we often pray to God, it's amazing that we should expect results. Can I get a witness? And we should tell others of the results. Tell others of the results. Why do you say that? Because faith stirs faith. Faith testimonies stir other people's their faith. I think about when someone was talking about receiving their healing. And when they received their healing, someone was outside listening and they said, wow, if God did it for that person, he'll do it for me. How many of you all know that is still true today? Continue to give your testimony. I don't care how. You may say, well, I've told it before. Well, let somebody else know. Can it get a good amen? Hallelujah. So when I look at this passage and see what took place, I see that this third verse, it says that the priest could not even enter the house of the Lord. Why? Because the glory of the Lord filled the house. And he says, and when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord filled the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground or to the pavement and worship and praise the Lord, saying, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. I like the NLT version where it says, for the Lord is good, and his love and kindness endures forever. It's important to know that the presence of God and really getting to know him, you know, you recognize two things. You know that he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Let me give you the first point. Is that simply this? God is good, and his love, and God is love 100% of the time. Important for us to embrace that. If you miss some other stuff, say this with me. God is good, and God is love 100% of the time. Now understand, that's revelation. And people need to recognize that, because sometimes when things are going well, we say God is good. But then when things are going not so well, we say, I don't know about that God thing. But can I just remind you that God is good whether things are going well or not? Can I get a good amen in the house? But that's revelation. That's revelation. God is good when I'm well. And if my body is attacked and I'm under a sickness, God is still good. And I'm believing for that. I walk in my healing. Are you with me today? When I have money, God is good. And then when I don't have money, guess what? God is. But we've got to get it settled in our mind that God is good 100% of the time. He's a good God. Can I get a witness? But that's revelation. That is revelation. It comes through revelation. And when I see the scenario here, when I see the passage that says that when they had finished praying and that the glory of the Lord filled the temple and they bowed their faces to the ground, paving, they began to worship God, saying this revelation. What was a revelation? That the Lord is good and his love endures forever. I pray that we receive a similar revelation today. I've been in several services in my life, but there's only been one that's quite like the one that I'm about to describe. There was a Wednesday night, and we had just been praying. Some people were laying before God on the altar, and it just so happened that when we were praying and the service began, and man, it just was such, I mean, God just came and he just did something amazing in our very midst. And again, we had to do something too. And I'll tell you this, you know, just like they did, they set the atmosphere and for his presence. And I know a little bit about setting the atmosphere because, you know, before Jita and I got married, I could set the atmosphere. You know, what does that look like? I'm glad you asked. You know, and even while I want to say before I got married, because that was, too, but even now, you mean like, what about now? 39 years age, you don't set the atmosphere? Set the atmosphere is like this, you know, you get a fresh line, fresh cut. You put on your outfit, you know, you brush your teeth, take a shower. She likes me to wear cologne. I think cologne stinks, but because she wants it, what am I doing? I'm setting the atmosphere. And then I tell her to put on something nice and whatever, and I don't even make her cook. We go to Cooper's Hawk. We getting ready, you know, setting the atmosphere. We get home, we putting a candle on. What are we doing? Can I let you know? And then you already know what time it is. After I set the atmosphere, you already know I'm just setting that. Can I let you know, folks, it's the same way with God. When you set yourself apart from the world, when you say, God, I want to be holy unto you, God. I want all of you, God. I want you to get the glory out of my life. You're listening to music. You put on the music in your house. Sometimes you have candles going on in your, God, this is for you. This is about me and you. And I've been listening to all that other stuff. All that stuff been getting in. But now, God, I want to focus my attention upon you. And you watch what happens in your house when you set the atmosphere. Can I get a good witness in the house? Well, that day, that night, Wednesday night, we set the atmosphere. People were praying, people were fasting, and the Holy Spirit just came in such a way. God himself just enveloped our service, and without prompting, nobody prompted, nobody grabbed the mic, nobody hollered and screamed. And so sometimes you think that when you feel something, you got to holler and scream and try to do something. But we didn't do it. We just dropped to our knees, bowed before God. And guess what? The same words came from my mouth. The Lord is good. A true revelation is that God is good. And more than just a cliche. When they go to church, they say, God is good. All the time. Nothing wrong with that cliche, but it goes beyond that. When you know that you know that you know, you've had a personal walk with him, that you say, yeah, God, you are good. Not part of the time, but you're good all the time. And I want to remind you folks that when things start going bad in your life, the devil start trying to holler and tell you some crazy stuff, and he will. He'll say, if God is good, then why? I don't know then, but I do know that God is good. And he's not good part of the time. He's good 100% of the time. Somebody give God a praise in this house. There's a scripture that I like in the book of Psalms that says, taste and see that the Lord is. Did you read that as well? Don't you sometimes want to tell the world you're doing all this stuff and you're trying to go forth, trying to find some joy and some happiness, but you need to taste and see that the Lord is good and there's joy in taking refuge in him. If you know what I'm talking about, give him a praise right now. He's that kind of good God. Let's rehearse it with me one more time. God is good 100% of the time. If you really believe that, come on, give him a real good praise. 100% of the time. It'll make the difference in your life. The other thing I want to remind you of is that God is love 100% of the time. Because they say, well, I don't feel love. It's not about you feeling loved. Because the enemy will come to you and mess with your feelings, your emotions. And he'll tell you some crazy stuff. And plus, you know, you might be going through something, but I'm letting you know that regardless of your feelings, God is love 100% of the time. 1 John 4:7 says this. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for God is what? God is love. I'm sorry. Let's read it like it says on the thing. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. But he who does not know God. For what? God is. How many of you see it in the scripture here? God is what? Not part of the time. All the time. We've got to remember that all week when the devil starts telling you crazy stuff, you got to recognize that God is love, not part of the time, but all of the time. When you mess up, God still loves you. When you do well, God still loves you. When you fall short, God still loves you. People may not, but God will always love you. Bless him in this house because he's God. The other point that I want to bring home, if I can, is this, and this is, you know, we must settle any internal false arguments with the truth of God's word. It's very important that we do that. Why is that important? Because all kind of things come to us and it'll try to get in our head and be talking all crazy to us, but we've got to settle those internal, and that's where it takes place, internal false arguments. Any of you all had to battle with arguments that was coming to you that were false? You have to pull them down. Look what scripture says, 2 Corinthians 10:3. It says this, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Next verse, it says, for the weapons, help me out, of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. To pulling down where those strongholds take place. On the inside of us, in our mind, and inside of us. And the enemy will tell us you're going to lose. You're not going to be victorious. Nobody loves you. The dog don't even love you. But you got to pull down those strongholds that you'll never accomplish anything, that you'll always be broke. You've got to pull down those strongholds. And the truth be known, as God told me, and I'm just going to share with you, he says there are strongholds in the church. What are the strongholds? I'll never be healed. I'll never walk in joy. We've got to pull down those strongholds. I'll always be broke. We've got to pull. Somebody help me today. We got to pull down those strongholds. It's getting quiet in the stronghold section. Hallelujah. He He says, casting down, next verse, it says, they're bringing, casting down arguments. Where are the arguments taking place? And do you know where the closed heaven mostly is? If we ever talk about closed heavens, it's in our head. We believe that God is not raining on us. We believe that God has not opened things up to us. Oh, yeah, preacher, that's yours. You can walk in that because you're the preacher. But I know a whole lot of preachers that's not walking in the benefits of God, don't have overflowing joy. Just because I'm a preacher, I can go on that, but I'm telling you. You know, you've got to embrace God's word. And when the arguments come, you've got to pull down and cast down arguments. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of who God is, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Hey, thought, you're not running anything around here. Are you with me today? I liken it to this. It's not a perfect example, but it's a good example. And it's, you know, my sons and I, and sometimes Tyreek, we talk about certain stats, if you will, sports stats. And they're pretty good. And sometimes my brother, I talked to Artie about some stats. And man, we get to arguing about, no. Michael Jordan has this many rings. No, he don't. He's got this many rings. Kobe scored, he averaged this. And we go back and forth. You know, this group didn't win the Super Bowl. The Bears won in this year. And it's enough. And then you know how we settle it? And we used to have arguments and bet and all that stuff. But since they came out with Google, we don't argue no more. There's no need to argue. Let's go to Google. Google gonna settle it. Hello in this house. How many Super Bowl rings did the Bears have? And they're gonna sit, wait. Say, I told you. Now check this out. Let's relate it. The enemy's gonna come and talk crazy to you. And you know, you can't go to Google. You got better than Google. You got God. And you got God's word. This is what you said, but this is what God says. And I'm gonna walk in that. This argument is settled, false thing is exposed, and I'm walking in truth. Somebody give God a praise in this house. So here are some of the arguments, and we talk about these on occasions. One is that God is not mad at me, but God is mad about me. Say that with me. God is not mad at me, but God is mad about me. That sounds kind of good, doesn't it? You say, well, how do you know that, Pastor? Why, the Bible says that he demonstrates his love toward you, that while we were yet sinners, not when you got it together, while you were in the midst of your stuff, while you were still doing your due. He said, I still love you. He says, I'm not mad at you. Not only am I not mad at you, but the truth to be known is that I sent my son to die for you, and his shed blood paid the price, and now you are declared friends of God. Man, isn't it good to know that God's not mad at us, but he's mad about us? There's a song that I like, and they'll probably have it on the screen, but it says, it's called Reckless Love, and if they have it on the screen, they'll put it up there. It says, there's no shadow, talking about God, you won't light up. There's no mountain you won't climb up. Coming after me. Man, it says, now, first of all, I gotta get kind of excited on this one. I was on the treadmill at my house, and man, this song came on and the words came up. And man, have you ever had revelation when there wasn't no church? And you was the only one in the house? You like, you talking about me, God? No shadow, you won't light up. If I get in darkness, I'm in a dark place, and you'll light that thing up on my behalf. Thank you, God. And there's no mountain you won't climb up. You mean you'll go up a mountain in order to come after me? Man, me and Jita went to see Diana Ross. And we did. Somebody said, yeah. It was Jita's birthday. I probably wouldn't have went. But it was her birthday, and I want her to be happy, and God understood my heart. And while we were there, Diana broke out with her white thing around her shoulders and the fish-like dress and hair all out to here. And she was singing, boy, y'all already know. They're going to preach the thing for me. singing the things. She was singing, woo. And Jesus was getting into it. Woo. You think she got happy on here, huh? She got to that part. I videoed. She said, ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no valley. Can you imagine if Diana Ross understands that? What about us understanding that there's no mountain that God won't come and see about us? He will come see about you. Ain't no mountain too high. Man, I don't know about you folks, but that just excites me. Then he says, there's no wall you won't kick down. Wall signifies that you are trapped, that you are somewhere where you're trying to get past. He says, I'll kick down that wall for you. I want you to know that's the kind of God we love. And then this applies, it would apply to me. He says, you know, I like this, it says, lie you won't tear down. What do you mean? You mean that there are lies in our head that have caused us to not to have a relationship with him because we heard that he was mad at us, didn't like us. He says, I'm going to tear down that wall. I'm going to send Jerry Wayne to preach a message to pull down those strongholds that you know that I love you and the stuff that the enemy told you was a lie. Somebody give God a praise in this house. Give him a big praise. He's God. Do me a favor, witness to a neighbor and say, neighbor, God really loves you. The one more is, ain't no mountain high enough. You don't have to sing it, but just say it. Hallelujah. God is not mad at me, but God is mad about me. Say it one more time. God is not. Now, how many of you know that sounds pretty good? Can I share with you that God is not disappointed in me? God has appointed me and chosen me. Sometimes these people say, well, I'm disappointed in you. Well, you know, that's on you. God is not disappointed with me. I might not be what you want me to be, but I want to be what God wants me to be. Because the scripture that goes on and says that he chose, that we didn't choose him, but he chose us and appointed us. So I am chosen and appointed. And I want you to walk like you're chosen. Walk like you're appointed. And don't let anybody say, well, you're not like me and you don't do it like. No, you've got a unique fingerprint different than anybody else's. You don't have to be their height. You don't have to be their weight. You don't have to have hair. You know, everybody can't have hair like me. What little I have left, hallelujah. That's a joke, y'all. That's a joke. Woo! Other people used to tell me they had good hair because it was laid down. And now I tell them I have good hair because it's still here. Hallelujah. The good hair, they went bald. Hallelujah. Moving on. I am not a mistake, but I am his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. It is important for us to remember that I am his workmanship, his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus before the foundation of time, that I might do good works that he's ordained me to do. And that just blesses me. And then finally, we hear this, and the enemy will tell us, he'll tell you a failure, but can I let you know I am not a failure, but I am victorious, and I am more than a conqueror? Can I get a witness in this house? Say it with me, I'm victorious, and I'm more than a conqueror. If you believe it, give him a praise in this house. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. I'm coming to my last point, and this is my time that I ask you to lean in. I've been sharing 3 weeks. This is the fourth week. I've got one more to share on this particular subject. So therefore, I want to drop this nugget because this is a life changer. It changed my life. So let me at least give you the point and then let me elaborate on it. It says, we are called to invade this earth culture with a heavenly culture. See if I can say it again. And since it's on the screen, it makes it a little easier. And so you can get it in your head. Say it with me. We are called to invade this earth culture with a heavenly culture. Now, let me explain that. There are cultures, and then there are subcultures. And it's important that we understand that A culture is a way of thinking, a way of life, or how a group does things. This is how they do things. For example, when I go see Pastor Sheriff, hunting is a big culture there. They get in trees early, like 5:30 in the morning, and while it's dark, and they wait all until light comes looking for a deer. But that's their culture. They're big family core, big family and guns type people. But that's the culture that you live in. You know, some of them still chew tobacco and spit, you know. But that's the culture. You follow what I'm saying? I got to give a 11 o'clock. That worked at the 9 o'clock. Let me give 11 o'clock scenario illustration. What's the boy with the braids? Was at the fair not long ago. Snoop. Yeah. Some of y'all know y'all was there, bless God. And the Snoop culture just told on yourself. But the Snoop culture is help me out. Don't be playing like you. I know I'm at the 11 o'clock service. What is the Snoop Dogg culture? They be smoking, getting high. They be getting knelt. So the truth be known, and don't y'all be acting like, I didn't know, bless God, hallelujah, I don't know. It's good. Don't play that. I talked to some of my boys that went. They said, man, it was so live up in there. I got a contact just by walking in the place. But that's the culture. They cuss in their hip-hop culture. They cuss. So don't look at me like we don't know. That's the culture. Are you with me today? There are certain cultures. When I went to South Africa, they had certain cultures. Like they would very, very friendly, very, very emotional, hug you and sometimes kiss you on each cheek, and then would bow to you and stuff. I saw the sons bowing, literally bowing to their fathers in respect. But that's a culture. So there is, just like those are cultures, can I let you know that there is a heavenly culture as well? What does a culture look like? This is a Christ culture. See, when the disciples came back after Jesus told them, you go, 72 of you all, when you come back, you know, I want you to heal the sick, raise the dead, so forth and so on. And he says, I want you to cast out devils. And see, he's letting them know that there's something that takes place in heaven, and devils and imps and demons, they ain't running nothing up there. Sickness is not running anything. So he's saying that I want the heavenly culture to be brought to the earth. I got to break this. I got another. So they came back. They came back from doing the work that Jesus sent them to do. They were just jumping and happy. Oh, man, we went forth and, man, we saw salvation. We saw deliverance and we saw this and we saw all kind of things. And then they came to this point. Even the demons were subject to us. They had to obey us. And then that's when Jesus flipped the script on him. He says, hey, folks, that's cool. But don't forget that I'm letting you know, when I was in heaven, I saw Satan himself fall like lightning from heaven. They was like, said, you did? For real, Jesus? For real? I'm letting you know that in heaven, a lot of this foolishness as an enemy and demonic activity, it ain't running nothing in heaven. There's no sickness there. There's no disease there. There's no fights. You know why? Because it don't happen long. They mess up, they gone. Thank you, God. And he says, I want you to bring that heavenly culture to the earth. Well, what does that look like? I'm so glad you asked. Thank you, Jesus. That means when sickness takes place, the first thing we do is we don't run to the medicine cabinet and get an aspirin. That's an earthly culture. We don't run and say, well, I'm trying to run away from everybody that's sick because I don't want to get sick. A heavenly culture says, let me go lay hands on some. Where's my olive oil? Lord, help me break this down because I want to preach it like I feel it. An earthly culture would say, if she says something to me, I got to say something back to her because she messed with me. Now it's going to be on. A heavenly culture would say, listen, let me pray for her because I know it's not her, but it's the spirit of the enemy trying to operate in her. So therefore, let me just pray for that. I I want you to know that there's a culture that God is calling us to. In our schools, when stuff starts happening, we don't fight like everybody else. We have an atmosphere about us. There's a culture about us. Just like when Jesus came on the scene, he brought this atmosphere with him that he said, peace be with you. There's something about us, that there's something anointing upon us that makes us different than everybody else. Let me ask you, let me share this with you. I'm almost done. Help me, Holy Spirit. Y'all praying with me. The Bible says that you are the salt of the earth. What does salt do? Salt seasons things. Salt preserves things. So I place you on the earth to make a difference. He says you are the light of the world. How many know there's a lot of darkness in the world? Revelation says this. If you are, because you are the light of the world, when you step in darkness, things change. You step on your job, you don't just join in with everybody else with the gossip. You set the atmosphere. When you step in there, they say, wow, what just changed? Why? You bring a heavenly culture with you. That darkness is not running anything. Darkness has to get out of your way. Somebody give God a praise. I'm moving on. In the schools, because you have a heavenly culture, you walk in that school and things change. The atmosphere changes. And when you don't get and start cursing and acting a fool with everybody else, why? Because you bring something. You want to impact the very place that God has placed you. We're called to invade the earth culture with the heavenly culture. Everybody else might be doing all kind of stuff, but you came to be a light in this dark world. Somebody give God praise in this house. Woo! So you are salt, light, and leaven. Well, what does leaven do? I'm glad you ask. Leaven is what my mom used to put in the bread. The bread used to be flat. And it's amazing. You can sprinkle some leaven and mix some leaven in there and cover it up. But the young folks, y'all don't know nothing about that, do you? The old folks don't know either. You cover it up. And all of a sudden, man, the stuff that was flat begins to rise. The Bible says that we are leaven. We're salt, light, and leaven. That means that we pack a punch. Even though we might be small, we pack a punch. Because if you are infused into the earth, the whole situation around you has to change. It has to rise. Why? Because you're there. How many of you know that God has called us to be salt, light, and leaven? And you are called to invade this earth, not with the earthly culture, but with the heavenly culture. What is the heavenly culture? That means when sickness takes place, we don't get in there and say, well, wow, you about to die. The heavenly culture says, can we just lay hands on you? Can we anoint you with oil? The Bible says, if we pray for the sick, that they shall raise up, and the Lord shall lift them up in this last day when we anoint them with oil. You've got to know that it's an opportunity, even this day and time, for us, the body of Christ, to invade this earthly culture with a heavenly culture. My last thing. God said, this is the generation that I've called. I've called you to walk in the very confidence and boldness. I've called you not to be like anyone else. I've called you to be set aside. I've called you to walk in authority and power, to make a difference in your home, to make a difference on your job, to make a difference in your marriage, to make a difference with your children. Why? Because you're called to invade this earth culture with the heavenly culture. You can stand on your feet right now, and we give you praise, God. Come on, let's bless him right now. We love you, Lord. We adore you, God.